Now, we've been focused in this country on a lot of issues that are going on. We've looked at Ukraine. We talk about inflation. We talk about the economy. And that was until, I guess it was last week, when an early draft of the apparent decision of the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade and return regulation of abortions back to the state. And so there's been a lot of turmoil in the country over that. So let's look at what's happened since Roe versus Wade. Because that same thought process that a husband goes through when he's tired of his wife, or a wife goes through when she's tired of her husband, based on surveys, up to 95% of women that have an abortion basically said, in order for me to be happy, the baby must die. So let's look at what the leading cause of death in the world in 2021. Was it COVID? No. COVID accounted for 3.5 million people worldwide. Cancer, 8.2 million. AIDS, we don't hear a lot about AIDS in our country that much anymore, but apparently it's a problem in the world because 1.7 million people worldwide died of AIDS. 1.3 million died from traffic accidents. And based on this website, Worldometer, which I take to be reputable, even when you see things on the internet, you're never quite sure. It says that all the deaths in the world, from the cause of death number two on down, amounted to 58.7 million deaths in 2021. So what was the number of deaths in the world in 2021, the number one cause? It accounted for 42.6 million deaths. It was abortion. With some estimates for worldwide abortions going as high as 73 million. You know, we've had 62 million babies legally killed by surgical and medical abortion in the United States since Roe versus Wade. So let's put that in perspective. We've got the Vietnam War Memorial. It has the names of 58,209 Americans killed in the Vietnam War. And it's 492 feet long. If the names of all the aborted babies killed in the United States since Roe versus Wade were on the wall, it would be over 90 miles long. So I've been to the Vietnam Memorial. I'm sure a lot of y'all have been. 90-mile-long wall if we put all the babies that have been aborted in the last 50 years or so. You know, and this is Mother's Day. We know this is Mother's Day. We all had mothers or we wouldn't be here. And this may not be your typical Mother's Day sermon. But, you know, we've got to begin standing up for the unborn. You know, to the women who've been blessed with children, I want to read this article that I read. It says, it's addressed to a mother who gave birth to three beautiful children, doesn't wonder whether she is as good as a man. As the world bickers back and forth over men or women being better, local stay-at-home mom Sally Glover has announced that she doesn't have to worry about that at all, according to sources. I guess I never had to ask myself if I was just as good as men or not, said Sally Glover. I just assumed being given the awesome power to grow and nurture a child was enough. I didn't need to listen to feel validated. When Sally Glover heard that the president had just said that women can do anything as well or better than a man, she just shook her head and laughed. Well, that sounds a little patronizing to me, she said with a chuckle. Fortunately, I have three examples looking right at me of just how worthy and amazing I am. But please tell me more about how I'm oppressed, she said. In fact, Sally says she was glad that there are so many differences between men and women. I'm thankful that we're not all the same and that we think differently, with different strengths and weaknesses, she added. Instead of worrying if she is as good as a man, Sally lives every day fully and abundantly, spending time with what matters the most, family. You know, The world's been telling mothers for the last 50 years that they need to be men. You know, we don't need any more men. We have enough men. You know, and they've been telling men they need to be women. But let's let women be women. Let's let women be mothers. If you aren't mothers, who else will be? Do we think men will be mothers? You know, men aren't mothers, physically or mentally. You know, we can pick up stuff. We can open cans. We can carry stuff. And we can do tasks. You know, but we've got to be the spiritual leader of our home. But we aren't women, and we never will be. Because we don't have that empathy, that sacrificial love that only a mother or grandmother brings to a family. You know, all of us that have had mothers, we know what it is to have a mother that sacrifices for us, that does things for us that our fathers didn't do. Our fathers were an important part of my life. My father was. But he was my father. He wasn't my mother. And I want to encourage our mothers, you know, be aware of what your children are being taught in school. Be aware of who is influencing your children. You know, a simple look at the internet, it reveals the absolute evil, if not insane, people who are teaching your children. You know, I don't recall a teacher in my life from elementary school through college that talked to me about sex. Why should they? I mean, I went to a Christian college, and you know, in our Bible study, but you know, we never had a teacher come talk to the class about, you know, gender identity or sexual identity. I mean, what role does that have in our classrooms? And we look at those, some of these people, and we say, you know, this is an outrage for these people who I believe have a mental illness, and it's wrapped around their gender identity, and they try to pass it on to our children. You know, at some point, we're no longer talking about just a difference of opinion. We're no longer talking about policy differences. You do it this way, I do it that way, we'll all get there. You know, we're talking about evil. And evil must be defeated. And when you see the videos of made by some, and I say some, teachers on the internet, you're looking at the face of evil. These people are so caught up in celebrating their insanity and pushing it on your children. There's really only one way for lesbians and homosexuals to reproduce, and that's to convert your children. You know, we all have a desire to reproduce. That's what the family is for. The basic family is to reproduce. And if you have a lesbian couple or a homosexual couple, you know, they can adopt kids, they can artificial insemination, but the basic way to have offspring is to convert your kids. That's how they reproduce. You know, we hear the term woke, that we need to be woke. Well, the Bible tells us to be woke also. Let's look at Romans 13. Romans 13, verses 11 through 12. It says, And knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. First Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Ephesians 5, 14, 15 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give the light. So then that ye see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So as Christians, we need to wake up. Because Christians who are woke are not confused. If you're awake, as the Bible instructs us to be awake, we understand what is happening and who it is that's ultimately behind it. But being awake is not enough. You know, we can be awake and just sit there and watch the world go by. I read some statements recently. It says, stop saving your courage for a rainy day. It's pouring outside. You know, if we're waiting for a rainy day to be courageous, to stand up for God, I think that day's here. It's pouring outside. Stop saving your courage for a later date. Another place I read, be brave, do something. You know, the church can no longer sit inside our buildings and just watch these things happen, because they're going to happen if people that have sense and honestly people that are sane don't do something. And you can be sure that when you do something, evil is going to come for you. It's going to try to crush you. And why is that? Well, John 3:18 through 21 says, men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. So when men's work is evil, they love the darkness. Let's look at what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So let's look at a couple of words here. King James Version says, yea, and all. The Amplified says, indeed all. The NIV says, in fact, everyone. Okay, so if in fact everyone who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus is going to suffer persecution. So let's look at the word persecution. And remember, I just said the world will try to crush you, because that's what one of the translations for the word there for persecution means. It means to crush, press, squeeze, grievous affliction or distress. In John 16:21, that same word is used to describe labor pains. In Acts 7:10, it's used to describe the afflictions of Joseph. In Acts 11:19, it's used to describe the persecution that was severe enough to cause the early Christians to leave Jerusalem. So we're talking about persecution that's crushing, that's going to press down on you. You know, we're not talking about somebody who's not invited to lunch with the gang, or somebody that gets made fun of occasionally for their Christian beliefs. You know, we take that as a badge of honor. I think Paul's talking about more than that. You know, he's talking about somebody that's going to lose their job or lose their house or maybe even lose their freedom. But we don't want that. We're not willing to pay that price. Let's look at the verse that we read, that Ed read for us. God said through Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, we can't move. We can't allow these things to pass. We can't continue to give ground to evil. For too long, we've just watched from the sidelines and allowed evil to triumph. And I'm not talking about taking to the streets in protest or committing violence of any kind. That's not the way. But I am talking about refusing to go along with the spirit of this age, standing up to evil, using every opportunity we have to spread the light, to cast away the darkness. What is the reason that Jesus came into the world? Luke 4:18-19 says, Jesus, reading from Isaiah, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So that's our task too. Now, these people that are caught up in all this, it's evil. You know, as we looked at Romans 1, God gave them up to a reprobate mind because they refused to keep the knowledge of him. They refused to acknowledge that he's God. And so I think most of these people that we see, God's given them up. Something's happened to their minds. But we let them parade around like they're normal. And we do nothing. If there's any group in the world that's brokenhearted, blind, and captive to sin, it's the group in the world that's caught up in all this transgenderism, all this sexual identity, all this polypantheism, whatever the normal most recent term is for all the things that are going on. So let's look at where we are and who we are. And let's, you know, rededicate ourselves to doing something, to be brave, to risk the scorn of the world. You're going to get it. If you come out and say things that are in the Bible, then you're going to get scorned. And you're not going to be included in some things. And you may even at work be disciplined, depending on what the core value of where you work is and how strictly they enforce their core values. Because they can have any value they want because it's not Christian. But you, as a Christian, you don't get to have core values because you're the problem. And so we've got to stand up. And God gave each of us talents. He gave each of us abilities. And he expects us to use them. And he doesn't expect us to use them just in worship. You know, it's great that we have people that can lead singing. And we need people like Matt and Don that can lead our singing, like Tom. But that's not the only place that we use our talents. We need people like Sean that can preach a great sermon. And Sean has had great sermons. It's going to take each of us doing something. And I can't help but believe that there's some of us that have bought into this. And not necessarily transgenderism and those type things, but we bought into other things that keep us from committing our lives to Christ. There's a lot of sin out there besides the ones we've talked about this morning. And so, you know, I would encourage each of you to think about where you are. And if you never become a Christian, you need to seriously consider where you are and where you're headed. Because there is a difference between being a prepared people, being prepared to go to a place that God has prepared for us. There's a place prepared for us. Both places are prepared. Heaven is prepared, hell is prepared. And so it's up to if we accept what Jesus has offered us, then we can be prepared to go to heaven. If we don't accept what Jesus has offered us, then we're preparing ourselves to go to hell. And there is no third way. So let me encourage you. You know, if you've never been a Christian, or if you've been a Christian and you've fallen away, that if you're brokenhearted, if you're blind, if you're captive to sin, that you would please come forward now as we stand and sing.